Welcome to installment 204 of Sefer HaMitzvos from the Rambam. In today's portion, we will conclude our discussion of Positive Commandment 113, the commandment governing all regulations of the red heifer or Para Aduma. In Sefer HaMitzvos, the Rambam tells us that the commandment here is that we should prepare the red heifer in order that there should always be ashes to purify people from Tumas Meis, the impurity conveyed as a result of a corpse or dead body. Although virtually all other forms of impurity can be taken away and purified as a result of immersion in a mikveh, a ritual pool, impurity of Tumas Meis as a result of a dead body can only be taken away in addition with the waters of the red heifer. The details of its preparation are discussed at length in a tractate specifically on this subject, Masechta Pora, and we have discussed many of them in the previous days. To briefly reiterate, the red heifer had to be completely red, all red hairs, and was prepared uniquely outside the temple grounds in a mountain opposite the Beis HaMikdash, the temple. After the animal was slaughtered there, it was completely burned to ash, and in the middle of the burning, a piece of cedar wood and hyssop wrapped up in crimson thread was thrown inside the burning animal. Later on, these ashes were placed in Mayim Chayim into spring water, and the mixture was sprinkled on the impure person on the third and seventh day of his purification period, and afterwards he immerses in a mikveh and becomes pure again. As we mentioned previously, many aspects of the impurity of Tumas Meis and its purification by means of the red heifer are completely beyond human understanding, as this is considered Chukas HaTeira, the primary chok, or law of the Torah, which is completely beyond understanding. Not only is it beyond our understanding, but it is in some ways the opposite of our understanding, that the person who occupies himself in preparing this red heifer himself becomes impure. The same animal which later on will purify people from their intense impurity renders the person who is preparing it himself impure. At the same time, it contains the idea of purity and impurity. Furthermore, by the law of Tumas Meis, impurity of a dead body, we find the amazing law that although one that touches the dead body becomes impure, as the dead body is known as Avia Veis, a primary source of impurity, the dead body itself is not impure. As we see discussed in the Talmud, what would be in the case of the Ben HaShunamis, as the story is told in the Book of Kings, that the prophet Elisha actually revived this child after he had died, that he had passed away, and Elisha came, and as the story is told at length there in the Book of Kings, breathed into him and actually did Tchiyas HaMeisim, revived him from the dead. And the Talmud asks, does this child, would he thereupon need to be purified by sprinkling of the ashes of the red heifer? And the answer is no, that although if someone would have touched him when he was dead, that person would become impure, the dead body itself is not impure. And therefore, once he came back to life, he did not need to go through any purification procedure. A similar discussion is raised regarding all people that will go through resurrection of the dead who will come back to life in the Messianic age. Will they need to be purified? We would think that the dead body, since it is the primary source of impurity, certainly the body itself is impure. But nevertheless, there is reason to say that just as this dead body itself was not impure, so too in the case of the resurrection of the dead. We explained in an earlier installment of Sefer HaMitzvos, in our discussion of Tumas Meis, the impurity of the dead body, that many of these laws and aspects regarding the idea of impurity stem from the fact that it represents an idea of encompassing life, light, of makif. As we compared prohibitions, such as prohibited non-kosher foods, with the idea of impurity, that we have two different types of revelations discussed in Hasidic philosophy. We have or panimi, an inward filling light, something which comes into A person, for example, as the comparison is given of food, mazein, which comes inside a person and is absorbed into the body in each particular limb according to its particular characteristics, this corresponds to the idea of prohibited foods. On the other hand, the idea of impurity is something which is makif. It is a surrounding sort of life, light, quote-unquote, meaning that it is beyond human comprehension and cannot be internalized into the body. For this reason, we explained previously that the prohibitions, prohibited foods, do have explanations according to the Torah, whereas tuma, the general idea of impurity, is something which is beyond our comprehension. It is outside of us. And just as the inward light is compared to food which comes inside a person, the makif, the surrounding concept, corresponds to a garment, a levush, which cannot be internalized into a person, but rather remains above them, remains outside them. It is for this reason we explain then that in order to purify a non-kosher dish, one needs to get inside the dish, so to speak, and bring out the taste from inside through boiling hot water or fire. On the other hand, a vessel which has become impure, one does not need to get inside. One merely needs to encompass it and surround it in the waters of the mikveh. That since the impurity itself is a concept of surrounding, this is also the method in which it is purified. This we all explained last time in our discussion in an earlier portion. It should be added on over here to understand properly our law now of the waters of the Red Heifer, that it is described that there are different levels in encompassing light as well, as the three levels are brought of food, a garment, and a house. Both a garment and a house surround the person and encompass the person, whereas food goes inside. Therefore, food is a filling sort of aspect, whereas the garment and the house surround the person. Nevertheless, there is a big difference between a garment and a house. Although the garment surrounds the person, nevertheless, in a way it resembles food in that it has to fit the person. It comes down to the person on his level. It still surrounds him, but surrounds him in a way which fits him in particular. It might fit other people as well, but it fits him, certainly, although it only surrounds him. A house, on the other hand, is not unique to this particular person. It is a surrounding sort of revelation. It also cannot be internalized, but is much further from being internalized than even this sort of makif, the surrounding aspect, which is compared to a garment. As we also previously brought the example, that an inward sort of light compared to food would be a concept which one understands clearly. A surrounding sort of revelation compared to a garment would be something which is a little bit beyond our understanding, which perhaps through work and through concentration we would one day be able to understand. The aspect of a house, however, is something completely beyond understanding, completely elevated and apart from us. And this is the difference, as explained in the Chassidic philosophy, between different types of impurities and the impurity of a dead body. All forms of impurity are the idea of makif. However, they are compared to a garment. They are above our understanding, but they are not opposite our understanding. The impurity of a dead body is not only above our understanding, but it is so far above, it is compared to the level of a house. It is completely beyond understanding. It is the opposite of our understanding. And therefore, we find laws relating to the Parah Aduma, the purification process of the Red Heifer, and also the impurity of a dead body, which are completely opposite intellect, because they are way beyond our understanding, even to the point, to the extent, that they are opposite our understanding. It is for this reason also that it has been explained that the purification procedure regarding the dead body must be the ashes of the Red Heifer, which is a chok which is completely beyond understanding. And we see in the particulars of the purification procedure that when it comes to a regular form of impurity, a mikveh is sufficient. But although a mikveh, a purifying pool, is still something which surrounds the person, and in fact, why the mikveh purifies is something beyond comprehension, it is in no way due to any sort of cleanliness, as one must be clean before entering the mikveh. We see, nevertheless, that just as a garment surrounds a person, but still has a connection with him, so too the mikveh does have certain things which are understood, which have limitation. For example, a mikveh must have a certain size, it must cover the person, and so on. However, the ashes of the Red Heifer are completely beyond that. Even just Sprinkling a few drops of this water is sufficient to purify the person. What all of the waters of a mikveh would be unable to do, just a few drops of water mixed with the ashes of the red heifer would be sufficient. Why is that? Because since this is an aspect of makif, of surrounding, which is so completely beyond comprehension, we have no explanation or no categorization of how much should be used. Even the slightest amount coming from such a high source is sufficient to bring the person from the most severe impurity to a state of total purity. When Moses was first revealed the whole idea of the impurity of Tumas Meis, of a dead body, the Medrash relates that Niskarku Ruponav Shel Moshe, that Moses' face darkened, it turned red. He was so affected and so disturbed by the severe impurity that his entire countenance, his entire physical features changed and were transformed. He was so bothered by it. And although when all other sorts of impurities were described to him, he did not have such an effect on his personality and his appearance, and in addition, he was given an immediate remedy for all of them. When he was told about this sort of impurity, God withheld from him any mention of how it should be purified. Only later, after he had gone through this transformation, did God reveal to him the idea of the red heifer, that this should be the purification procedure. One of the many things we can see from this story is the tremendous, unbelievable quality of a Jewish leader of the stature of Moshe Rabbeinu. He was so bothered by this idea of impurity that he was physically transformed. Whereas one would think, how many people would become impure in such a way? And even those that do become impure, what can they not do? They cannot enter the temple grounds. They're allowed to walk around the temple mount. They can fulfill all other mitzvahs of the Torah, including the idea of Torah study, that the Torah study is infinite and endless, and a person can become wonderfully united with God as a result of Torah study. And this, that the person cannot enter, is because he's fulfilling God's command not to enter the temple grounds. It is beyond his control. And Moshe Rabbeinu, as explained the Chassidus, was completely higher than this whole idea of the impurity of Tumas Meis. Why then should he be so bothered? Nevertheless, Moshe was terribly bothered by it, because when it happened to another Jew, it was as if it happened to him. As explained regarding Mordechai, that the Medrash says Mordechai and Moshe were similar in the story of Purim, that Mordechai was told, it says in Megillas Esther, about by Hasach, Asher Korohu, about what happened to him. And as the previous Rebbe explained, that this means Korohu, it's as if it happened to him himself. Then Mordechai felt as if it happened to him. It bothered what happened to any single person as if it happened to him himself. And so too with Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses was bothered as if it happened to him. And this is the true quality of a Jewish leader, that he cares not only about himself and those immediately close, but even people very far away from him. And even a single person who was far away, nevertheless, affects him so personally that he undergoes a physical transformation should he see the distress of that person, even if the distress should not be a great one. Such as in this case, all the other mitzvahs can be performed. Nevertheless, it affects him until that his distress causes Hashem to answer and to describe and open up the whole new idea of purification, which was that of the red heifer. Thank you for tuning into the daily portion of Sefer HaMitzvahs. For more information or to sponsor one of the installments, contact Sichas in English at area code 718-778-5436. That's 718-778-5436. And please join us again tomorrow.